decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. We're talking about one particular area of self-restraint, sexuality, or courtship. I like to use that word courtship. It is an old word, but it covers a lot of ground, and I like it much better than dating because I don't think dating has very many precedents in history. It's a very recent development, and it's not working very well. My observation is that this do-it-yourself game that people are playing is leading to heartbreak and disaster rather than to the happiness that they're looking for. I told you about a young man that had come up to me after I had talked on the subject of chastity, and he said, "But holy cow, lady, you gotta have sex." And I think that view is bought by a lot of people nowadays, that chastity is simply impossible. And the only reason that they think that is because they never have really tried it. But as C.S. Lewis illustrates so beautifully in his children's books, the Narnia books, when a thing has to be attempted, one must never think about the possibility or the impossibility. When a thing has to be attempted, don't think about the possibility or the impossibility. You just simply do it. Now, we can't remain perfectly chaste without God's help. We cannot do this by ourselves. Human efforts are never going to attain holiness. So I hope I've made that perfectly clear. We do have a will to offer to God. We have bodies to offer to God. We have the privilege of making those choices. But we cannot be pure. We cannot be holy without the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Once a commitment to God's will and God's way of doing things is made, then you've started on the right road, the only right road, the route to eternal happiness and earthly blessings. Do I sound terribly dogmatic? Well, I am, I guess, pretty dogmatic on the fact that it's the only right road, and I mean the only right road if you want happiness, if you want blessing. God knows how to give us that, but we have to surrender ourselves to Him. Would you like to be married? Have you made your own list of characteristics that you're requiring? Well, I want to tell you one story of one young man's approach to marriage. His name was Charles M. Alexander. He was a well-known hymn writer back at the turn of the century. He traveled with D.L. Moody as his music director or song leader. And Charles M. Alexander tells this story about his own courtship. "I had reserved the right in my mind to choose my own wife and had decided that she must have this and the other qualities of mind and heart, but had never been able to find one who combined all the desired qualifications. During the Christmas season of 1903, which I was spending alone in London, I surrendered the whole matter to God, never dreaming that His answer would come so quickly, or that Birmingham would be the place where I should find my wife. During an afternoon meeting in Bingley Hall a week or two later, I noticed a young lady upon one of the platform seats. Immediately, a feeling came over me that there was the answer to my prayer. I did not know who she was, but observed her closely and grew to love her, for I saw that she was after the salvation of souls." Notice, he says, he grew to love her. This was all within the space of one meeting. "I noticed that in the after meetings, she usually went down to the back of the hall and was not afraid to stay late and work long and earnestly, sometimes with the most wretched-looking and poorly clad women and girls. The more I saw of her, the more thoroughly I was convinced that as far as I was concerned, she was my choice. though I was still asking the Lord constantly to take everything into His hands. I had noticed a silver-haired lady with her, evidently her mother. One day, early in the mission, this lady gave me an invitation to spend my rest day at her home. I accepted, and after she had gone, I turned to someone and asked who the lady was. "Why, that is Mrs. Richard Cadbury," I was told. This was a surprise, as I had already visited the home of some of her relatives. It was not until the last rest day of the mission that I, with several others of the mission staff, was entertained at Ufcombe, one of those strange English names of a house. Strangely enough, and quite unknown to each other, until afterwards, my future wife and I were praying earnestly on that same Friday night for the Lord's guidance in this matter. Each of us had a hard battle to fight with our own self-will, but each finally surrendered to the Lord to have or not to have as He should will. It was not until 2 days after the mission had closed that I spoke a word to Miss Cadbury about it. And then, why, it was all settled in a few minutes. We were on our knees almost as soon as I had spoken to her, thanking the Lord for bringing us together and for the wonderful joy which we took as a gift direct from Him. Is that an unbelievable story to you? A young man who wants to get married, who makes up a list of what he's looking for, he doesn't find her. And then he spends time alone with God during that Christmas season, surrendered his list to God, and I'm sure that he must have said something like, "Lord, here's my list. I'll take yours." He was saying, "Thy will be done." And almost immediately, God brings this woman across his path. And almost immediately, he recognizes, this is the woman. Did they have a date? Not one. 2 days after the mission, he spoke a word to Miss Cadbury about what God had been teaching him. And then it was all settled in a few minutes. We were on our knees almost as soon as I had spoken to her, thanking the Lord for bringing us together and for the wonderful joy which we took as a gift direct from Him. Now, I want to give you 8 principles that are illustrated in this story. The first is surrender to the will of God. The second is performance of His duties. Charles M. Alexander carried on the work that God had given him without sitting down and twiddling his thumbs and being distracted by his love longing. There's no consolation like obedience. So the second thing is performance of his duties. Third is expectancy that God would guide him. Do you really believe that God wants to? He's the shepherd. Doesn't it make sense that the shepherd wants to guide the sheep? He's much more interested in getting them where they belong than they are in getting there. So expect that God will guide. Number 4, watchfulness as to God's guidance. Keep your eyes open. Look around. Pay attention to what God is showing you. Always with that constant prayer in your heart, Thy will be done. Number 5, he set character as priority. He does not say a word about whether this was a beautiful woman or not. He saw a godly woman, a woman whose heart was given to other people, a woman willing to give her life to Jesus. Character is what matters, not feelings, not looks. Number 6, a new commitment of his natural feelings. Number 7, no dating, but a frank confession of love. And I'm sure that immediately after confessing his love for her, he must have asked her to marry him because he says it was all settled in a few minutes. You don't have to go 2.5 years, 3 years, 6 years trying to make up your mind whether this is the right lady if you have preceded with all of these other things. Number 8 was the recognition of God's gift. To both Alexander and his future wife, when love was first confessed and accepted, the unmistakable leading of God was as clear as noonday. To both of them, the revelation had come with a bewildering ecstasy of holy joy. Never before had either opened the sacred deeps of the heart. And when love came in floods of overwhelming force, they gratefully accepted it as from the hand of God. Well, I sigh when I think of what's going on Christian college campuses, in Christian seminaries. I talk to a lot of Christian students. We always have a Christian student living in our house. And I think if only they could know this plan. Let me read those eight principles one more time. First, surrender to God. Second, performance of duties. Third, expectancy. Fourth, watchfulness. Fifth, character is the priority. Sixth, a new commitment of natural feeling. Seven, no dating, but a frank confession of love. Eight, the recognition of God's gift.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.